you going to put it on in here? Give me a little bit of volume. Nope. There we go. We're not hearing anything. The sound, the volume is probably so low. Hallelujah.
Prayed hard for what?
To get all the calories out. I guess my faith wasn't up there.
Hallelujah. How many of y'all enjoying the new life? How many you've had, how many over the last 4 weeks your life is completely rearranged?
Amen.
I've had three patients since I started yesterday ask me to pray for them.
Ask you. Praise God. Jesus. Wow.
I was excited.
I think it's all.
Ask God. You know, I'm in there taking care of a patient, and she just looked at me and took my hand. She said, "Will you pray for me, please?"
Well, God is good. Can you take that right here on the floor? Just take that. Yeah.
She looked at me and she said, "God's good." And I had two other patients who did not know, hadn't engaged in a conversation, but I asked me to pray. It's cool.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, around good people, around saints. And we can usually take nights like this, Wednesday nights, to hear the Word of God, enjoy the presence of God, and to worship God, just to acknowledge the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're studying the book of Colossians. We can get into that right now, but it would also be good just to pray. Yeah, let's hit that light switch right behind you, Brother Dean. God said, "Let there be light," and there was some light. All right. That's wonderful. So let us study this together. I don't think we'll get through the whole of it, but we can get some of this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll be asking a couple questions on this, but just because we open questions, it doesn't mean it's round table. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's just do that. We'll ask questions to find out whether y'all are really getting where we're trying to go with this whole teaching, you know, to see where you are at, whether you're really picking it up, or whether you just listen to me ramble on for about 3 weeks. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this: If ye then be risen with Christ, so see those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your own affection on things above and not things on the earth. And that's really hard to do today, isn't it? I mean, that's what it really takes, faith. That's what faith really is. A lot of people think faith is nothing but a bunch of stuff to help us live on the earth. You know, the focus of faith is not to keep us earthbound, but the purpose of faith, true faith, is to get us heavenbound, or to get us not so dependent upon the system, the world. You know, if God wants to bless us, He blesses us that we can get out of debt, so we can be free to do what God wants us to do. But so many people use their faith to entangle them in more so into the world than what they've ever been. You know, God is awesome, and I'm a wild one, and I said something a while back, and I can say what I want to, and you can believe what you want to, but you know, I was dealing with the Holy Ghost, and I said, you know, the Holy Ghost is, God is fair, and He's got integrity, and the body of Christ represents Him. You know, I think, you know, and God's telling the body of Christ for the last 20 years to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and giving us prosperity so we can be out of debt. I said, what if the rapture took place and the saints were still in debt? Do you think it would be God's heart to rip off those that they were indebted to? Do you think prosperity, you know, that's a thought, you know, and I left that thesis out to a lot of people. The religious people, they just wash over it. But those that know God, they really think about it. And say, now, God surely wouldn't do that. He surely wouldn't hold us accountable for that. Well, if he's given you the ability to live this righteous kind of lifestyle and all these things come true and you walk by the Spirit, you'll be free enough to do that. So we say amen. Notice that they didn't, when the children of Israel left out, they were released. Somebody say, and those people gave them and blessed them so that they were able to come out of bondage. You know, it's not like, you know, you think the world's going, you know, you got 10, you know, you got 7 days to live, so you go and steal as much as you can steal because, you know, in 7 days it's all over, it's not really going to matter. Or you're going to claim bankruptcy, but and before they settle it, you're going to go charge up as much as you can charge to make it work. God is a just God, and it all works together. And everything he does in decency and in order. And when he says things very seriously. And there are so many Christians that says, if you be risen with Christ. And there are a lot of people that won't allow themselves to be risen. That necessarily means just saying the sinner's prayer 7 years ago or getting baptized or whatever else it is. I believe it means to have your mind, you know, where you're risen with Christ, you know, you've died to the flesh, but you've also arisen to this mentality that God wants us to rise to. You've accepted it, and you've risen above little mentality. You're not stuck in stuff that other people are stuck in because you really believe God. Yeah. Everybody say, if.
Yeah.
You be risen with Christ. We got to really learn, you know, that we got to really learn what true Christianity is all about. And what it is on the believer, and we got to learn to separate ourselves from religion and really get down to the meat of what God wants out of us. It says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. What's above? Let's think of some things that are above. And what will we call when we start thinking about seeking stuff? People's life is all about, you remember that teacher we said, you know, that life is nothing about receiving and sowing and reaping. That's all life is, or receiving. Life is nothing, life on earth is nothing but receiving and rejecting. It's all based on what you receive and what you reject. And that's what life is all about, or what you sow out. And so basically, our life here on earth is all about what those things that we seek, the things that we're trying to grab a hold of, you know. What are we seeking? Seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Wow. Set your affection on things above. What are you affectionate about? And how do you express affection? And it doesn't say some of your affection. Now, everybody look at this. It says, not on things on the earth. Not on things on the earth. Now, we can enjoy stuff, but we don't need to love nothing so much on the earth. You know what I'm saying? That it has us. You can have as much stuff as you want to, but as soon as that stuff starts to have you, you're in some rough shape. And there are a lot of people that aren't able to rise above because they're so anchored in their so-called stuff that they can't let it go. We've got to be lighthearted, amen, light living in order, and to get to where God wants us to get, to have that type of mentality. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. What are some of the things that we set our affection on in our culture? What are some of the cultural traps that people set their affection on? What is the biggest goal? Our homes. It takes us 30 years to pay them off. And your life is all about that. You go to work every day, and everything's basically, as long as you can come out that 30 years with that sucker paid off, most people say, I'm all right. Our homes are some of the things, and a lot of people basically live for their homes. And if that home is challenged, boy, their world is rocked. Their future's rocked. You say, if they don't, you know, if I didn't have this, you know, everything would be really rough with me. Does that say, am I saying that God wants us to give up our homes and be vagabonds and live in tents someplace? No. But we don't need to have any mentality that tells us what we got to have. And so many people set their affection literally on those things. They wonder why they're not free. They wonder why they're bound, and why God takes the back seat in their life instead of the front seat. When God takes the front seat, He'll take half that time that you're sowing to the world and give you 10% of that time where you'll be able to get so much more done. Amen. You'll be able to accomplish the same thing that they're accomplishing. Amen. And get down the road. Your lifestyle, you know, when you obey the Holy Ghost, your lifestyle won't go down one bit. As if you got out. People think that you got to go sell out to the devil in order to be blessed by God. Well, that's the only way you really make it. No, you obey the Holy Ghost and watch what the Holy Ghost does in your life. Let's not set our things, let's not set our affection on things that are on the earth. Put our love and devotion toward God. You know, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. You know, all those things. You know, and this is what it's called good life. If you be risen with Christ, then seek those things that are above. Act like it. You know, risen means if your mentality, you know, some of these other people, they're stuck on that stuff because that's all they can see. You got to look at this world like dimensions. You know, you're not just going to go to heaven when you die. When you get born again and the Holy Ghost comes on you, your head pops through into the other dimension. You know, where you see, all they see is their home. They don't see eternity. They don't see the heavenly host. They don't see what true life really is. They can't see those things, so they're stuck down there. But the believer has the ability to see beyond those things. So keep your head up. Live like your head's up. And you know what? That'll bless people. You know, when you start to see people, you know, hey, you know, like my friend over here and different people, their life's finally starting to come together. But in the meantime, they put their head up and find out, you know, praise God. I was striving for all this stuff, but it doesn't really mean anything. You know, I got all this stuff, but if I got it all, it doesn't mean absolutely nothing. But when we stick our head up, you know what I'm saying? We don't give away, you know, we don't just forget about the little things we got to do in the earth. We realize our responsibility, but we put it in perspective. And that's freedom, and that's liberty. If you be risen with Christ, then seek those things that are above. Are you seeking things above? Are you focusing on the things above? Well, some of you can tell what you're seeking by what your affection is and what you're emotional about. You know, does your, you know, somebody could bump into your car that you love so much, and they'll rouse emotion out of you just like that. But for you to get emotional about Jesus, we got to sing 10 songs. And then on top of singing the 10 songs, you got to feel, you know, then the Holy Ghost got to come down and the angels got to brush your wings. And then God really move because of the level of your affection. You can tell what you're seeking and where your mindset is by the level of your affection toward that thing. You know, I had a friend that was a freak. Brian would fall for these girls, and when he fell for the girls, the whole world was left behind. I mean, nothing mattered. I mean, that boy would walk in Shreveport, he'd walk 30 miles in the middle of the night just to ring a doorbell. That's what you call affection. You know? So many of us live the same way. We'll do all kind of stuff because of our affection, our desire. God doesn't want us dominated by that stuff. He doesn't want us to be driven in anything. He just wants us to be submissive to the will of the Holy Ghost and handle those things. He says, by nothing, you know, don't do anything with anxiety and selfish ambition and all those things. Don't flow like that. Don't flow in stress. But by prayer and supplication, joy of the Holy Ghost, like what you were saying, you set out there and you got specific about what you wanted God to do, and God did it. You can tell what you're affectionate about by your blood pressure. make this commitment, even in this first part. I'm not going to become affectionate about anything on this earth. And you talk about that's a blessed life. Not going to let it get to you. You're going to enjoy it because God put all things before you so you can enjoy it. But it ain't going to have you. It's not going to rock your world. It's not going to shake you. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. You know what I'm saying? Some of us are afraid of the thought of losing anything. I mean, that wouldn't be us. We got to learn, hey, I can hang no matter what because I'm in this thing for Jesus Christ and no matter what comes. Thank God he's a blessed God and he blesses his people. Amen. Even if he did it, he'd still be God. Even if I never experienced it, he'd still be God. And we got to have that mindset. When we set our affection on the proper things, that starts to happen. And the reason why you're supposed to set your stuff up, get your mindset up there, because whether you realize it or not, you're dead. That's what's telling you. I mean, you're really dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, who is our life? Christ. Who's our life? Christ. That old you's dead. In order for you to enjoy this old stuff and this stuff that everybody else is into, the new you cannot enjoy those things. It won't find satisfaction in those things. The only thing it's going to find satisfaction is that old man that you pull up. Earthly thing doesn't satisfy the regenerated heart. It doesn't. Only Jesus. You're dead. You know, you can find that thing out to be so. You're dead to those things, but you're alive in Christ. Who is our life and shall appear, then shall also we appear with him in glory. So how do we live like this? According to Colossians chapter 3, how do we obtain this lifestyle? How do we get it? Do we start crucifying all the stuff around us? No, it says, therefore, mortify therefore your members. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The Bible says, your eye causes you to, you get offended by what you see, chop that sucker out. Your hand offends you, cut it off. You get what I'm saying?
That's strong.
That is strong. Is that a literal?
I have no idea.
Is that literally? I mean, I've often wondered about that saying.
Well, I mean, I think your works represent the things that you do with your hands, mm-hmm. and your eye represents your sight.
Right.
And the things you
what
see.
What you look at.
What you look at. So if you're doing things that's causing you to stumble in your Christian walk, cut that job off. Cut that work off. It's not worth it. You know, if you live in some place and everything you see is causing you to stumble, cut that eye out. Pack your bags up and move. T.D. Jakes said something that was awesome on TV. He said, we can get out there. We got all of this liberty, but all this liberty that we do have, it's not worth our soul. It's not worth it. We just think we put ourselves in so many things that is not healthy for us spiritually. You know what I'm saying? It's not worth it. That neighborhood's not worth it. That job's not worth it. Nothing's worth your soul, sanity, and peace of mind. God will bless you. Amen?
Amen.
So if these things, would we cut off our eye? Well, if we can't cut off a friend, we wouldn't cut off our eye. There are sometimes we need to cut people off real quick. You know, you cut them off, hang that phone up. You know what I'm saying? If things cause to offend your Christian walk, if it's keeping you earthbound, get the hell away from it, because that's really what it is. And you got to be able to do that and live that way. If you're going to be risen with Christ, you got to mortify these things that keep you earthbound. I thank God for my lifestyle. You know, I'm not saying it's better than everybody else's, but I thank God that I'm surrounded around the righteous. I live here in a complex. Even though I'm in this complex, I'm not in this complex. My brother came down. He was in the world when he got here. He ain't in the world no more. So, mortify, therefore, your members are which upon the earth. And these things, look, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, what is it? Evil, read, what's that word? Compulsiveness. And covetousness, which is idolatry. All those things were to die to. All those things were to die to. For things, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the what? Children of disobedience. God is a good God. But if we don't mortify our members, you get what I'm saying? And crucify that flesh and do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? If you stay in Sodom and Gomorrah, guess what? You're going to burn just like everybody else. I don't care what radio station you got playing. If you stay there, you'll go down just like everybody else. If you lag behind, you know what I'm saying, you would have been drowned in the Red Sea. God is a gracious and merciful and loving God. But the wages of sin is literally death. We can't afford to miss God. Is God going to, everybody say the wrath of God comes out on the spirit of disobedience. God can't stand rebellion. He can't stand rebellion. As he blesses obedience, for as much as he blesses obedience when people step out of God and they get blessed for doing it, just so much is his indignation and wrath poured out upon the children of disobedience. In which ye are caught, in which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. So say, put it off.
Put it off.
Did it say pray? No, it said just put it off. You can put it on just as much as you put it off. You know, these things, you know, we want to be blessed and we want to do things, but God has a real heart. He says anger, wrath, and malice. We somehow find reason to be wrong and justify ourselves in unrighteousness. We don't want to do that no more. I told, I can get mad, but I've gotten better. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not there all the way, but I'm a lot better than what I used to be. But one of the things that helped me with extreme anger or rage was, you know, I read a scripture in the Bible that said, and it also says, don't fellowship or don't embrace or don't fellowship with an angry person. The Bible said that. And it wasn't talking about, because if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. And the Holy Spirit says, you see what you're going to do? You can have as much anger as you want to. If you're going to be hard-headed, you're going to be angry, and you'll suffer the consequences. But you got people around you that are trying to live for me, that are trying to serve me. And if they hang out with you with that spirit of anger, that spirit of rage, and they're still with you with that, you're causing them to sin, because the Bible tells them they've got to walk. So I gave it up because I wanted them to be able to walk in the Word. Amen.
That's good.
We think that people, you know, so we don't, you know, the Bible even says that in relationships and marriage and whatever else it is. We think that we have to put up with each other's junk. No, we don't. The Bible says it's better to live on a housetop. Live on the housetop or in the attic than in somebody that's always carrying on and acting ugly. So if you think you got a relationship and somebody's got to sit there in your face while you're berating, abusing, and hurting, and they got some religious right to stick there and put up with this, they don't. The Bible said, get out of that house and get on the rooftop if you can. Somebody say amen? God delivered us from the works of darkness, and we got to stay free. Somebody say amen? And let us do this. Let us get rid of these things. You know, and it's so hard. Anger, wrath, malice. You know, some people, they don't yell and holler, but boy, do they got a lot of malice. They'll get back at you real quiet, you know.
You know what I'm saying? You won't hear about it, but you know you'll feel it. You know what I'm saying? Something will cut off something down the road. That relationship will change. You know what I'm saying? They'll lay in wait for you. You know what I'm saying? Angry people don't have to be loud people. You know, there's some that I wish they'd just yell at my face and get it over with. You know what I'm saying? Then just to stay mad and don't say nothing at all. Okay? Now, blasphemy. And this is a good one. And filthy communication out of your mouth. We don't need to say everything we hear. You know what I'm saying? You know, just because we have the ability, you know, we don't need just to talk any kind of way. There are certain things, like we have to be careful about the thing that went downtown. And I have to be careful. Because the Bible says there are certain things it's a shame to even scuff. You know, and we don't have to share it. We don't have to share it. You know what? Because I tell you what, God will use somebody else someplace to share that stuff. But don't let it be you. Amen. There are certain people that are appointed to do dumb stuff and they'll suffer the consequences for it. You know, like he said, Saul was appointed to be a dummy. Saul said he was called to do this and different people were called to do stupid things. Well, there's somebody out there that's called to start some stuff and to start some mess and they'll suffer the consequences of it. You'll see stuff wrong and you'll just want to fix all that stuff and get into it. You know what? You just stay in Jesus and stay blessed. Hold your peace. Somebody someplace else, you know what I'm saying? Because you always reap what you sow. Think about that. You always reap what you sow. That's why I told somebody, you know, someone said, well, you know, I got to pray that thing down. Well, there are a bunch of people that let them pray it down. I want to pray blessings because I want to reap blessing. There's always somebody else out there willing to do the dirty work. And no matter whatever work you sow is the work you reap. If you sow a bunch of judgment, criticism, hard-nosed stuff, you know what you're going to get back in ministry? Judgment, criticism, hard-nosed, and all those other things. So we want to be careful. Lie not one to another. Somebody say, glory to God. See that you've put off. There are certain things we don't ever. We don't ever, you know, we got to realize every once in a while we got to, you know, maybe we should get some lipstick and write it on our mirror before we go out, because if we don't really wash ourselves with the Word of God, we'll forget. I'm saved. Amen? I'm saved. We are not allowed, and especially when you're working in the world, because worldly people lie. They do some rough stuff. I mean, worldly people are a trip. And if we're not careful, we'll be caught up in that lifestyle and thinking it's acceptable, you know, say, well, I can do all this other stuff as long as I'm not sleeping with the, you know, with the thing across the block. I'm all right. Amen. But all these other things, you hear what I'm saying? God, we're supposed, it's not, you know, one sin greater than the other sin. We're supposed to be risen above stuff. We're supposed to be what God wants us to be. I'm not trying to get us to be looking for this wrong, looking for that wrong. We're just supposed to be saved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm doing a good job tonight. Hallelujah. This is all in Colossians. Amen. We're still in the same verse. Amen. It says, listen, put off these things from you and lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. You put off the old man and also his what? Deeds. And have put on the new man. Glory to God. See, this is what's really exciting. Before you can put on this new man, you got to take off the old stuff. Bums wear 2 and 3 different outfits at the same time. You know, old dirty bum, instead of getting one, wearing 2 pair of pants, they'll put 3 and 4 of them on. And there's some Christians that like that too. They'll go and put on that nice loose suit that the Lord gave them, and they'll shove it on top of that old stinky stuff they've been sleeping up in the, you know, sleeping on the side of the road with. But we got to say, as Christians, when we get saved, God washes us, we take off all that old stuff and put on all your stuff new. Amen? Don't have a second outfit under the other one. Amen? It doesn't look nice. So listen, if you put off all that old stuff, then put on this new stuff. Amen? Put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. The new man is renewed in knowledge. And many of us won't receive the wisdom and knowledge of God so that that new characteristic, so that new nature can start to manifest on us. Now, someone said, well, the new man doesn't cuss. Yes, it does. But not in knowledge. And if you're obedient to that knowledge that the Holy Ghost has given you, to the government of the Holy Ghost, you won't do those things. You understand where you're renewed? Amen.
You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. But if you don't obey the spirit of your mind, the inner man, guess what? You won't manifest the works of righteousness. So where are you renewed? People say, I can't stop. Yes, you can. You stopped a long time ago, but you just won't be obedient to the spirit of your mind. Amen. You won't be obedient to the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Listen to the Holy Ghost and do what it tells you to do. You'll be all right. So listen, glory to God, hallelujah, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now, this is what's really nice. And if we're not allowed to do this other stuff, this is what we're supposed to be doing, and this is what we should be striving to do. Doesn't just happen naturally. You got to put it on. You've got to put it on. How do you put it on? Studying it, meditating, confessing it, and doing these things. If you don't do this, listen. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God and beloved bowels of mercy. Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness and long-suffering. Wow. It's a choice. That's how you stay above. You're going to be risen with Christ and dead to the world. You got to put off all that other stuff. Amen. You can only put that stuff off by faith. You really got to believe to walk in this spirit. You really got to believe to walk in this spirit. You know, if it's a dog-eat-dog world, that's the world you live in. And when you're really looking around, you find out you don't need all. When you really have the peace of God, you're going to realize, hey, I don't have to fight. Amen. I don't have to carry on. I'm in heavenly places. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about that. But if I'm down there where everybody else is and I'm down in their mentality, down on their level, guess what? I better learn to carry on because that's what you're going to need. But you can be in that stuff but not really in that stuff. I've gotten to the point where I say, hey, ain't no weapon formed against me going to be able to prosper if I'm seated in the right place. But if I'm down there right where they are in the same mentality, yeah, I'll get the same blows they get. Amen. But if my mind's above, boy, let an argument break out. I'll come out without a spot, without a wrinkle. Glory to God, it won't even smell the smoke on me when you come out of the fire. Why? Because you weren't there. You were above that stuff. But if you haven't allowed your mentality to rise above that stuff, your faith to rise above that stuff, yeah, you'll get damaged. Somebody say hallelujah. I told my friend yesterday, I said, you know, I learned not to worry about stuff. You know, I said, they can be whatever they want to be. They could be I used to be afraid of evil people. You know, I said, man, if I get around that one, they're going to wear my butt out. You know, and just, ooh, Lord. I mean, literally get afraid. You know, we had some people, man, they would put you in fear. Not that they could destroy you, but just you're going to have some miserable time because they are that kind of people. They stay in strife. They're going to talk about you, and you're always going to have to work through whatever they're doing. You're going to be affected by what they do. You know what I decided? I ain't going to worry about that. You know what? If I love God and live my life that I have in Christ Jesus, will outlive every darn lie. That is their problem. I trust my righteousness and my goodness, period, point. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to validate it. Somebody say, thank God. No weapon formed. It's impossible. I really believe this. For any weapon formed against me to ever prosper. Amen. I'm not even there. Amen. And it takes the sting out of the devil. And so many times we get into conflict with people. We war with people. You know, if you just hold your peace and realize that, hey, I'm not even there. Can't touch this. But so many of us are right there in the flesh where you can be touched. Yeah, if you're in the flesh, yeah, you can be touched, but you get in the spirit. Amen? They can't get to your spirit. They can't steal your joy. They can't steal your peace. They can't steal your vision. They can't steal your call. There's nothing. They can try whatever they want to try, but they won't be able to touch one thing about you, and God will make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. I've witnessed that and seen it. You would not believe how many dogs are out there, but thank God that you can get rise above. You know, somebody say praise the Lord. If you've been there, you can rise right above that stuff and walk right through the midst of them. Why? Because you're not really there. That's how you can then tell you what, if you're not in heavenly places, you better learn to fight. You better learn to fight, cuss, and lie. Amen. If you don't have humility and long, if you, I tell you what, humility, long suffering, all that stuff doesn't work when you're in that kind of stuff. Amen. You have to go off to the other side. But if you've made up your mind that you're going to be above, see, nothing worse than people that don't want to live above but try to act holy on down here when they don't want to have their mindset. They just like everybody else but trying to be all sweet about it. I'm just a Christian. I'm after the same thing y'all are after, but I'm just a Christian. They haven't left. You know what I'm saying? When people start fighting over leads or whatever else it was, y'all know how that stuff happened. Why? Well, what were they fighting about? Because everybody was trying to survive. They were all tearing each other down because everybody wanted a piece of the action. But those that had their mind set above, somebody say, thank God, they knew that God was their source, that they were in heavenly places and all this other stuff. They weren't going to get caught up in that stuff. They didn't have to roll like that. This is teaching. Somebody will understand it later on and learn how to be victorious and free. Glory to God. He'll take this, the fear of people away. Amen. Hit me with your best shot. Hit me with your best shot. Watch me still stand. But you better be careful. We do hit back. But glory to God, it's not us. I'll turn the other cheek. But when I turn the other cheek, it ain't me, it's Jesus. It ain't mean just turn around and get slapped again. It's turn the cheek. If I hold my peace, then the Lord, and let. Say, let the Lord.
Right.
Didn't say ask him. Say, let him. Isn't that nice? Let the Lord fight my battle. I mean, he's ready to go. Amen.
Yes.
Just get back, get out of the way, and just let somebody say, let the Spirit of God do what he's got to do. We can, amen. It says, listen, with humbleness of mind and meekness and longsuffering in every circumstance and in every case. Get in the Holy Ghost and get in the Spirit or lose. Amen. Doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Amen. Matters where you are. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. There's some Christian people that don't know how to forgive. Even knowing if you don't forgive, neither does your Father in heaven forgive you. Now, if you get mad at somebody now that ought to make you real mad. Glory to God. Not only did they, you know, somebody could dent your car or do something. You know, you get all, or do something to make you real mad. Well, let them get you in unforgiveness. Then you'll be really mad. Then you'll be down in hell with them, mad about the thing that you were mad about that got you where you are. You know, you all mad and just can't wait to see him in hell. Well, you'll be there to see him if you don't get it. If you stay in unforgiveness, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Somebody say, you got to be saved. You got to rise above. You know, God has given you the ability to cut stuff off. You have to look at it like this Christian life is like you got to lighten a load to float up. Mm-hmm. But if you don't lighten your load, you won't float. What salvation does, it gives us the ability to get stuff off of us. Before, we didn't have the ability to get it off. You couldn't get off wrath. You couldn't get off rage. You couldn't get off unforgiveness. It was stuck to you, and you had no right to get rid of stuff. You were trapped. But Jesus came and gave us the ability, amen, that if you want to shake it off, you can shake it off and then you'll start to float. But a lot of people aren't floating because they can't, they're too heavy. Lighten the load and go, amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you, boy, I tell you what, it's a new dimension. I tell you what, I visualize this teaching like that. If we just lighten ourselves up, just a little bit. Faith will cause you to lighten your load. You got to be like Gideon's army. You think you're going to win the battle, you got to have all these men. I got to have this trick, this bullet, that bullet, this argument, this cuss word, that cuss word. I got to have all of it. You know, I got to have my, you know, and with me, if you look at me, I get mad and my face goes. You know, that's one of my armies, you know. Ooh, my face, those eyes will raise. You know, all these little things that we do. Gideon's army, all these little things that we think are going to help us win a war. And God will take that stuff to the water and say, okay, see how they drink. You need to look how your anger drinks. It ain't going to do nothing for you. Lighten the load so you can win the war. Amen? Now, if that big army would have helped us win war, we'd have won all the battles in our life. Amen? You know, we'd already be there. So why march all them troops? Lighten the load and let the Lord fight your battle and watch you win. You will win. I'm trying to make this a little bit interesting for you. Amen. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave ye, so also do what? Do ye. Now, a lot of people, and that's the best one right there. If you got a quarrel, now I'm going to go work this mess out. I'm going to find two brothers and we're going to work it out. That's if you can't work it out. Let me tell you what the best thing to do, forgive it. Best thing to do is forgive it. Not everything worth all that. Amen? It's not even worth all. You know, when I was at the coffee bar, and that was the last bit of cream that we had up there, and you snatched it from me, and I developed this about you ever since then, and you got this about you, and I just got to share it because I just can't let it go. Can I say amen? Amen. We could be doing other stuff than trying to be, than going through small stuff like this. It says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, what does it say? Just do it. Just do it. Get over it, forgive it, and go on. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of what? Perfectness. And let the peace of God, wow. Some of us are so, we have all these other things that rule our hearts. Hold on, I'm having an anxiety attack, I can't breathe. My chest hurts. All these other things because we let it rule our hearts. What troubles your hearts? Your rulers. What do we allow to rule our hearts? If any circumstance or any situation causes your heart to change, you love somebody with all of your heart and all of a sudden something else happened, you don't love them as much as you used to love them, peace is not ruling your heart. You need to allow peace. Even when people deserve stuff, they deserve, there's some people that deserve, oh, glory to God. There's some people that deserve, but you know what? You got to allow peace to rule your heart. Because if peace doesn't rule your heart, peace doesn't just need to move into your heart, it needs to rule your heart. Because there are certain people that we just need things to rule us. Not to debate with us, not to help us, just rule. Because our heart knows, God knows that, we can be given some time to debate. We can be given to change. But there are certain things that need to be final authority in our life. And one of the things that has to do with your heart, peace is final authority. What rules your heart? Anxiety, stress, worry, fear, unforgiveness. Are you going to say, well, I'd be upset if that peace wasn't ruling my heart. We can't do nothing around here. You go to some of those countries, when they get those rulers, there are certain things they can't do. They're just not allowed. When you let the peace of God rule your heart, when it's really ruling and you're submitting to that peace, there are certain things you can speak to your heart and say, hey, hold on, you're not allowed to fear, no matter what. Glory to God. How do you feel about that? Well, I'd feel real bad if it wasn't for this peace ruler in my life. Amen? I'd be worried about it, but peace is ruling my heart. He kicked out, that's against the law now. And you remember Prohibition? You weren't allowed to drink? When peace is ruling your heart, there's certain things that we're just not allowed to do. Somebody say amen? Who's ruling your heart? Now, this is not a beat-em-up message. It's a good one. Amen? Amen. The peace of God ruling your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, that's really good. That's a good lifestyle, isn't it? We put off all this other stuff. We've got our mindset that we're going for the things above, which is crazy. Which is really crazy. I'm not just trying to live saved on earth. I'm going for things above. I'm out for the supernatural. I'm out for God. So we made up that mindset. Now we got to the point where we're letting peace rule our hearts. We got that taken care of so you can get on with the real stuff. After the peace of God, you just call certain shots in your life. Then you can allow the Word of God, amen, the Word of God to dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Wow. Now, I know we study that verse. We study that verse again and again. But that's what life is all about. Amen. Peace. It takes faith to live like that. My sisters and brothers, I was a kid and I learned certain things. You know, I would listen to my gospel music and love Jesus and sing these little gospel songs. And we had all kind of problems going on in our family. And they were all had their ways that they were going to cope with these problems and deal with stuff. And they would all criticize me. Jesus ain't going to fix these things. Yeah, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. But, you know, peace ruled my heart. Peace ruled my heart. You know what? I admonished myself, got into the Word of God, got into Jesus. Amen. We had a good time. They could tear the house up, turn over the china closet. They could do whatever they want to. But the peace of God was going to rule my heart. Yes. That's a very strong teaching right there. It's powerful. This is where God wants us to go. But we're afraid to go there. Oh, I'll get that, you know, I'll get there after everything gets done. Oh, that's just a little extra thing. No, that's life. That's life. Amen to where somebody knocking at the door, you better stop. Nope. Life is all about, you know, life is all about allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly. Amen. In all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Now, that's a crazy person. But you know we can get there. As you're nursing, you can be abiding by this word in nursing. You be the only nurse, because you know how those nurses get, and different people get in them, crazy people get. But you say, hey, no, I'm here as a representative of the Holy Ghost. The peace of God's ruling my heart. I'm going to be flowing in the grace of God. Amen. And guess what's going to happen? Whatever I do, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. What did we do today? What things did we do today, and whose name did we do it in? What did you sign Jesus' name to today? When he still at, we worked for that one company, and they said, hey, you're not allowed to do, you know, you got to get your signs approved before you put them up there. Make sure they were approved. But there are a lot of people, when you're a Christian, you're a believer, you know, you're a representative of the kingdom of God, of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. What did you put his name on today? We'll go on. Amen. Do it in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, I'm going to go here because we got to go here. This is some good teaching right here. We're so afraid of the Bible. And last it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. We're so afraid to be obedient. Amen. It is another one. Just as much as it's hard for wives to submit to the husbands, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. Someone say, don't be bitter against them. There are certain things that the Bible just tells us if we just do those things, we'd be all right. Say, I choose to be risen above. If you're going to be risen above, just do what the Bible says. Don't get bitter. Whenever you're bitter, you know, you're released in different areas, but whenever you're bitter, you're not obeying the Word. Well, I got reason to be. Kathy didn't do what I told her to do. Or whoever your wife is, whatever. I'm just using you because you're the only married couple here right now. Amen. Except for Rita. Jesse's not here. You know, this person did this, but I've got right. I'm absolutely right. Well, if you're doing the wrong thing, you're absolutely wrong. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to get bitter. Somebody say amen. There are certain things we make so easy for ourselves. If the shot's already called, just don't go there. We don't know more than God, and He's got it covered, and there's no exceptions. We're not allowed to be bitter toward anyone, period. But especially in that area. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. And in one verse it says, submit yourselves one to the other. Husband's the head of the household. He's a spiritual authority, and that's the word of God. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I mean, Paul's just helping. He's just nailing everything. And here's another. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. We think we could do whatever we want to do, say whatever. You know, we're not allowed to provoke. Now, certain people are going to get mad because they just get mad, and that's their problem. You got to be right. Amen? But seek not just to make. You can't minister to angry people, period. And there are certain times that they just going to have, my mom used to tell me, you're just going to have to get glad about it, and that's just the way it is. It's true. But it gets to the point to where we're not to provoke to anger. Amen? Do you have to flow in that vein? Can we do a good enough job to where we don't make our seed angry? Amen? It says, provoke fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. How'd you like to have your kids discouraged instead of encouraged? That means to say, if your children are always getting mad at you and always getting mad, they're just going to get discouraged. That's not your job. So you need to make it a point, amen, you need to make it a point that I'm going to encourage my kids and never provoke them to anger. That's not putting you in a box. You got other alternatives. That's not the only way to get the job done. Holy Ghost doesn't deal with that. Deal with us like that. There are lots of ways, you know, and we think, well, you know, sometimes people just express where they're at. They're mad because they got the devil in them. No, they're mad because there's probably another way that we can minister to them. Amen? We don't want them discouraged. You have to ask God. Sometimes they're just crazy and need deliverance. Amen? Okay, so, you know, I'm not giving an excuse. Amen? Sometimes they need deliverance. But most of the time, you can take control of every spirit. And you got to discern what's more important. Even when a demon spirit is in manifestation, you got to figure out, God, which way do you want me to go? I'm in control and I can still win here. I can still win here and be victorious. That my child would be encouraged. Here's another thing. If you work for people, this is a real good one. If you work for people and you're doing certain things, servants obey in all things your master according to the flesh. So if you're working for different companies and stuff like this, you're called by the word to obey. Amen. There's certain people just disobedient. It says, obey them, not with eye service only as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. If people had the fear, if you're not a good employee, you don't have the fear of God. The fear of God will make you a good employee. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We can go on. I know y'all will be glad when we get. Amen. I know y'all be really happy when we get out of this portion of Scripture. Amen. Now, in whatsoever service obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, we as believers are not ever to do shoddy stuff. Half-heartedly. All slack. You can tell when somebody don't have the Holy Ghost. Everything they do is slack and jive. You know what I'm saying? Cutting corners here, cutting corners there. Nothing ever done with any inspiration on it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to do just the basic minimum in anything they can do. That's because they don't know the Word of God. God is extravagant, and God goes out of His way to do His best. And if we're His children, we should manifest the same characteristics. When we cook breakfast, man, we should wear it out. Amen? Whatever we do, we should do it whole. Someone say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
You know, some people don't put their heart in anything. They don't put their heart in anything. No emotion, no heart in anything. It just... Anybody met people like that? Just drive you nuts, you know? Just, ugh! You know? Do it with some... Get some soul, you know? Put some heart into it, you know what I'm saying? You can go to certain things, you can tell when people put their spirit into it. That's Jesus. That's the mentality of the believer. So whatever you do, do it with all your heart. As to the Lord, and not unto men. Whatever I do, my Lord, how'd you like that? To have that mentality. Whatever I do, and I'm doing it for Jesus with all of my heart. Think about the last thing you did that you didn't feel like doing. You're doing it with Jesus, and if you're doing it for Jesus, you're going to do it with all your heart. But I don't like doing it. Do it. God will deliver you. Amen? He'll deliver you and get you in the right place so that your life will not be wasted on meaningless people and meaningless things. If you can't do the things with all of your heart, we really need some prayer. If you got anything going on in your life that you can't put all of your heart into it, there's a problem. God did not call you there. Because God, why would God be contradicted? Oh, he just has me here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just here buying time. God doesn't do that. He says, whatever you do, because he's taking it that you're doing what he told you to do, you know, do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your heart. And if you can't do it with all of your heart, you better find out what God's got you doing, what God's supposed to have you doing. He don't want you to waste time being half-heartedly. Somebody say amen. I just can't put myself into it. Amen. Do it with all of your heart. Somebody say, I'm going to pour myself into this. I can't wait to go to work tomorrow. No matter what it is, I'm going to pour my heart into it. Glory to God. And it'll open doors for you if that's not what you're supposed to do. That right door will open up for you. The devil gets so mad at you, they'll fire you for doing good if that's not where you're supposed to be. Or you get laid off. So say amen. You just keep doing whatever your heart leads you to do, and you'll end up where you need to be. Amen. For your heart. Amen. Knowing the, listen, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall, of who? Of who?
The Lord.
Thank God for that. Because some of us can only pour our stuff into stuff that we think can pay us back from that. I ain't going to pour myself in that person's yard over there. I ain't going to get nothing out of that. See, it depends on who's your source. Whatever God tells me to do, guess what? I'm going to get it. Somebody say amen. The Lord pays you back for whatever you do. Amen. You always got a job with Jesus. You've always, you've always got a job with God, and God will always pay, or the word of God is a liar. So whenever God, you know, saying, if you don't have anything doing, that's why we tell people that don't, I ain't got a job. There's no such thing as not having a job. There's no such thing as not having nothing to do. If you need something to receive, get out and follow the Holy Ghost. Get out and just follow the Holy Ghost and do something. And whatever you do with all of your heart, something's going to come your way. Something's going to come your way. That scripture says if a man doesn't eat, a man doesn't work and a man doesn't eat. Doesn't say if a man didn't have a job, he didn't eat. It said if he didn't work, he didn't eat. And there are a lot of people that don't, you know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? You don't have to have a job to work. And some of these people get in these ruts, the loss of job, you know, and whatever else it is, and I'm just going to sit here and I ain't got no job and I'm just going to sit here. You're in sin. Get out and do something. Get out and do something. God might not want you to have a job. But just because you don't got a job doesn't mean you don't have to work. Get on the mission field for Jesus. Amen. Wash the dishes. Go see. Live. Amen. If you're laying in the bed, you're laying in the bed, and it's all you're doing is absolutely nothing. Guess what? Die. But if you still got breath in your lungs, God wants to use you. Amen. He didn't kill us off slowly. That's not God's plan, to kill us off slowly, put us in the bed and waste a couple years, then do it. He can take us out like that. Amen. If you're still here, amen, you're there to do something. Amen. Amen. He didn't call it, you know, some people think that's all about their life. Is everybody watch me die slowly? That's scary. I don't care if you got 6 months left to live and you land in the hospital bed and they're ready to pull the plug. You work until that, until they pull that thing out. There's always something to do. Somebody say, work. Hallelujah. We're getting there. Oh, Lord. Okay. And whatsoever you do it wholeheartedly, knowing that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance as you serve the Lord, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong, somebody say, you keep doing wrong. See, there are a lot of people that do wrong stuff all the time and sweep it under the grace cover. Tell you what, you reap what you sow. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no, somebody say no.
No.
Somebody say no.
No.
Respect of person. I'm covered by grace. If you're a person, there is no respect of person. If Brother Hagin did wrong, guess what's going to come? Amen? He got a wrong reward stored up for him. I do wrong, guess what? Whatever you put out there, come back at you, and there is no respect of person. So we want to continue to do right. Amen? We want to continue to walk in righteousness and follow the Holy Ghost and do what God wants us to do. I think that's probably good until we, for next week, then we'll close out at chapter 4. But it's God's heart for all of us to set our attentions on things above and to go for it. How many are tired of being earthbound? We swinging big bats around here. You hear what I'm saying? We're swinging big bats around here. Amen. Let's get out there together and agree with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the life that you have to offer. We thank you for faith, to believe you, to trust you, and to walk in your ways. Teach us how to release ourselves from earthbound mentality and pick up supernatural revelation in our hearts and in our mind that we would be who you want us to be and receive what you want us to receive. You are real. You are true. You are just. You have power, and you can make a difference if we just put our heart in your hands, Father God. Life will just start to get better day by day, moment by moment. Father God, you won't disappoint our faith. And those things that we believe you to do, Father God, you're going to do it. Thank you for being real in our lives. Lord, we pray over every situation concerning us right now. And we stretch ourselves, amen, to your ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for just about 30 seconds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Great things. Hallelujah. Sorania Rusa Bakasom Ren Yan Yusikleba Nase Yaburi and the Haya Yena O Salayan Yatsuhia Niatala Rusha Brang Yan Yusikleva de Rusala Mahandi at Tisuki Mahai Yosha Mahandi Osama Hakuva. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yamano O Shele Bahana Yasuba Viki Chanahai Yela Buvadana Asakovushiki Yahaha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're open to your spirit, oh God. We're open to your will. We're open to your direction. We believe you, Jesus. Manifest yourself in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Work your miracle, Father. Let your power flow. We believe you, God. Not to encourage our faith, God, but to let the world know, Father God, that you are awesome, that you are great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive. Yep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We receive that faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Just hang up on him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just that awesome blessing of God. Just the power of God, the blessing of God is manifest in this place. It's what he's wanted to do. It's what he wants to do. And that grace, amen, can come on you, amen. Get on the inside of you, amen. And cause you to do what you need to do in order to let the blessing be what it is. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We reverence you, Father. Mm-hmm. Do it. God is doing great things, isn't he? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. There was something that we were missing. We didn't do it today because the day was a special day. But I was looking back in a book of mine from 1995. And it said that Wednesday was a day of prayer and fasting. Some of you might, we're not going to put it on everybody, but some of you might want to consider that. You know, just to make a day of prayer, consecrate day of prayer. And day of fasting. Pretty powerful thing. Amen. It lets things break off. And I just pick that up. Amen. Just to do that. Any testimonies? Or are we done? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kathy's writing the check. Glory to God. Thank God for that. Be blessed. We're going to give you the opportunity to sow. Amen. Get in while the getting's good. Get in while the getting's good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't walk. Oh, I'm on the hoose. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray over your seed. Pray over your seed. Hallelujah. I need an offering envelope. We have it. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to bless this seed tonight. I want you to get, do you have Robert's seed or did you take it someplace else? We will hold it until Monday. Get it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you praying over your seed and doing what the Holy Ghost would have you do? That's the way to be blessed. I feel a gusher coming in. I just sense a gusher coming in. Glory to God. And that gusher's on this house. And we usually don't say that, but I discern that gusher is on this house. Nation's Church about to come into a gusher. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And it's not just that campaign. It's already, glory to God. Faith. I can't tell you the level of faith. I mean, that word of, we've gone through a season of pull back, pull back, pull back. Amen. We're ready to mess up the stall in Jesus' name. We're going to step out in faith. No, I'm serious. We're not going to. We are.
You said mess up the stall.
Yeah. You know, we are.
I've been the spirit of the ox.
Hallelujah. With greater faith, greater confidence, greater ability. We're going to see the works of God. Whatever God leads us to do, we will immediately do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to be blessed as the result of that. But if you want to receive the backlash of that, get in the same spirit. Get in the same spirit. Get in the same spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Get in the same spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't catch it when it's over. Get in early. Glory to God. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for the grace and for the anointing and for what you are doing in our midst. It's by faith, oh God. Hallelujah. We're walking by faith, not necessarily by sight. Hallelujah. Father God, you will diligently reward everybody that sows into this good work. So, Father God, specifically tonight, as we hold this seed in our hand, Father God, people are sowing. Lord, really, according to this area and this mentality today and this generation, Father God, they really don't have to, according to the ways of the world, Father God. But they choose to trust you and believe you, Father God, and somehow even afflict themselves. So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to just look. I'm not going to tell you what to do, God. I'm just going to tell you to look. And Lord, I know as you look, you'll see and you'll be you. So I just want to call your attention right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, to the seed sown. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to receive it. Glory to God. Pour your grace, your mercy, your ability over it right now, Father God. Lord, we speak specifically over this company, Father God. It's just so strange. Lord, we pray that you would see these two seeds sown, small seed, Father God, but look at it and breathe on it, Father God. Lord, I pray that you pour out blessings so heavy on those that have tried you. Lord, there are people that have sown hefty in this ministry, and I pray you bless them so much you'd cause their knees to buckle in Jesus' name. Father God, bless them to the ability to where it brings them to their knees in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, do what you can do. And then go on to what you want to do. Go on what you want to do. You can use, I'm not going to limit you and tell you what to do. You can use whoever you want to use, Father God. Those that we know, those that we don't know. Do it your way, Father God. We don't want to limit you. But I do request that, Father God, that you open the windows of heaven and do something immediately. Jesus, we thank you. We give you the glory. Lord, we thank you for Judy. Lord, we ask you to look in that direction, look on that situation, Father God. Do something. Hallelujah. Do something. We thank you for changing it already. You're a good God. Hallelujah. You're a good God. You're a good God. Thank you for changing it already. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everybody that's called to lay down their life, to do things in this ministry, which is everybody in this room. Lord, I pray that you work it out and cause it to happen. And we rebuke the devourer, and we rebuke any spirit of distraction or frustration or hindrance or time loss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you ever seen God rattle stuff up? How many of you believe he can do it? Amen. We have not seen it. I mean, he's done some stuff, but it's been a while, you know, I mean, he's been good to the measure, because some of you have done some things.